Title of the message, God is Light. They're in 1 John 1:5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. Let's pray together, please. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank thee again for thy blessings you give us in Christ Jesus and how you open up our understanding and that we might see Jesus high and lifted up on our behalf. We thank you for you, how you enlightened us and how you gave us wisdom and knowledge and the things that we deserved not at all, but you was pleased to give it to us. We just thank you for it. We ask your mercies be upon our lost loved ones that you might be pleased to also open up their understanding that they might know the truth and they might see the light of Christ. We just thank thee and praise thee in Jesus Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. God simply is light. We know that God is spirit, and we know that God is light. Most of the time is speaking of his transcendent light, and the other time, Shekinah glory, or his revealed glory, and usually speaking of wisdom and knowledge, that, and we know that God is omniscient, and he knows all things. He's aware of all things. There's nothing outside of his wisdom or knowledge that exists. He has and knows all things. It's hard for us to understand that because we, in our own selves, realize that we don't know everything. And we can continue to expand, and we forget about as much. If you live as old as I am, you forget almost as much as you learn, and you keep learning things. And so, well, that was unusual. And then you thought, well, wait a minute, I learned that before. But God's not like that. He's omniscient. He has all knowledge and wisdom. He does not lose it. He does not gain it because he has all that there is. And so God is light. And we think about the scriptures. We think that God knows all things, past, present, future. And the word of God is light. The scripture gives light. It reveals the greatness and the light of God. It gives us wisdom and knowledge that we might know the truth. It gives us almost everything that you could think about that you want to know. As far as the morality and spiritual things are concerned, it gives it to you. And then on the practical level, it gives us wisdom and knowledge how we should work and conduct ourselves in the world. And so this light that God gives us is all-encompassing. And we think about those that, as a natural man, we lack wisdom and we lack knowledge. And oftentimes the light that's in us is darkness rather than light. And we think we're enlightened and I was always brought. I was brought up a Baptist, and so I didn't go from religion to religion, but I did go from darkness to light. And sometimes people travel, and they—I know some people has been four or five different kinds of different churches or denominations, or what do you want to call them, and before they came to the truth. And then others are still ever learning, and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth, and that shows a lack of wisdom and knowledge. God is pure, perfect, and holy, and pure in knowledge and truth. There is nothing, again, outside of his purview or his knowledge that exists. Only God possesses it. The true way of everlasting life is through and by God's wisdom alone. We might think of ways that we might earn salvation, and man has all kinds of theories how you can be saved without God's being elect, without God choosing you, without God saving you, without God causing being the first cause of your salvation. Man wants to do all kinds of things, figuring out, but it shows it's just pure foolishness and that the everlasting life is on God's term and God's way. Yeah. The true way is Jesus Christ, and the matter of happiness and love, joy, and peace, man is always searching for that. But outside of Christ, you cannot find it. You can find a type of peace, a type of joy in the world. But it doesn't endure. It won't last forever. And the glimmer of it will fade off in time. We think about Jesus Christ, who is the true light. In him, there's no shadow of turning. That means there's no darkness there. There's no shadow of turning. There's not, it'd just be pure light. And in him, then, there is... Yet when we read about what Christ said, there's no darkness in it. When we think about the doctrines that God has given us, there's no darkness in it. Now, sometimes we put a shadow on it, but there is no darkness on the things of God. We think about the things in life that oftentimes that enlighten our eyes. Some people like pretty lights and this type of thing. Now, I'm talking about physical lights. Just go out and light up. And sometimes of the year, people are more enthused about lights. And then if they have a grand opening somewhere, they'll usually have a bunch of lights flickering and so on and so forth. And this gets our attention. But that light that enthuses the flesh has nothing to do with spiritual reality. Has nothing to do with the true light of God. It is only a subterfuge. It is only that which causes us to think that we have some light, something that we can grasp and hold on to outside of Jesus Christ. Light reveals the character of the source. There in Ephesians 5:13, in the book of Ephesians 5:13, starting there, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he said, awake thou, thou sleepest, and rise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Now that which truly makes manifest, that which shows you what sin is light. That which shows the sin in your heart is light. That shows the error of your way, that's light. When God saved you, he revealed to you, we sometimes call it the conviction of the Holy Spirit or convincing of the Holy Spirit. But it's actually God putting light on your sin upon where you have fallen short. And when God lightens that, opens it up, that you might see it for what it is. You may have seen it before, but what you didn't see for what it is. But that light of God reveals what it is, and you repented. You turned from it. Why? Because you've seen it was darkness and not light, that it was not that which you thought it was. It was a mirage of sorts, if you will. You thought that which was good, and actually it was evil. And so God revealed it by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, or by the enlightenment of the Lord Jesus Christ, and washed our sins away by the blood. Sin puts us to sleep spiritually, and then we suffer the consequences of it. Even as children of God, we can go to sleep. Spiritually, we just go to sleep. It's like being in a church service, you know, and even though we have our eyes open, have maybe our ears seem to be open, but our minds is soaring someplace else. And so we're asleep, and although we have the eyes open, then we're not receiving any kind of message from God. And that's when God wakes us up, oftentimes shakes us a little bit that we might see the truth. And only the light can wake you up. It's only the light of God that can cause the sleeping saint to wake up, the slumbering sinner to be made alive, is by the light of Almighty God. In Job 24:13, it says, by the Spirit speaking of the wicked, they are of these that rebel against the light. They know not the ways thereof, nor abide in the paths thereof. And that's the truth for most sinners, that they rebellion against the light. If God says it's black, they say it's white. If God says go right, they go left. He says go left, they go right. This is just a rebellious nature. And many of us still have that rebellious nature in us. I mean, though we're saved by God's amazing grace, it takes grace that we keep it down, that we don't go off, if you will, in our rebellious ways. And as I mentioned, some more than others. The first part of Psalms 19 speaks of the sun and its circuit and how it lightens. And many religions today, that is the key and center of their religion, is the sun itself. But the sun is not like the Son of God. This sun varies, the source varies. Sometimes they'll have lunar storms, and sometimes it'll give off more light, and then other times it gives less light. And then by the time it gets to the earth, it casts shadows here and there. And even with a glass looking at the sun, you can see shadows even there, where some parts are lighter than the other and shadows the rest. So the sun is shadowed, and in its varying degree, it can blind, it can conceal, it can reveal, it can limit our visual and what our influence as it reaches us. Sometimes it heats us up. Sometimes it makes does not give us heat. It shines on part of the earth for a time in a limited and physical universe. It is not a very good God, and yet a good portion of the world, that's the center God that they worship, is the sun. But the sun itself is a visible reminder of what the gods of this world are like. We can look out there, and there's shadows here and shadows there. Don't look at the window. I am. But and that's the way the sun is. But in Christ, it is light. There's no shadows. There's no darkening. There's no, if you will, shadow of turning. However, Jesus is called the Son of Righteousness in Malachi 4:2. And for those that on whom he shines, brings healing to their souls and their spirit, enlightens them that they might know the truth. And when we think about the new birth, that's what that is. It's been enlightened by God. And that we're born again. Who maketh thee to differ? And the answer, it is God that's made us to differ and become new creatures. God's word is light to show us how to walk and how to work. I guess one of the first memory verses I had as a kid, except John 3:16, was Psalms 119:105. The word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And this is exactly what the word of God is. It's light. It is useful. It makes us that we might see the truth and that we might be on the right path, that we can discern where we're at. If we say, well, I've been praying about this preacher, I've been praying to find out the will of God. If you've excluded the word of God and you're trying to find the will of God, then you've excluded a main source. Yeah. You say, well, yeah, but it doesn't have to do with this. I beg to differ with you. If you are faithful to read God's word every day, if you're faithful to search for the answer from God's word, it'll answer you. And oftentimes it's in your regular reading. And I don't know how many times that's happened with me. I just be on my regular reading. And these questions that I have, should I do this? Then there'd be a passage, and I'd read through it, and I think sometime, well, what's happening here? You know, this is a story of maybe Ruth, or maybe it's of Samuel, or maybe it's this. And then when I get through, I thought, there's the light goes off, because I realized, even though it has nothing to do with this day, even though it has nothing to do with the exact problem, but then yet God uses that to enlighten my thinking and understanding that I know what the answer is, what the truth is. And so God is able to use His Word. That's the reason that we should be in the Word regularly and read the Word regularly. The lamp is set up on a shelf and a table, and we've got lamps all over our house. We've got lights in the ceiling and got lamps sitting here and there, but you're not in one of them gives a light off unless you turn them on. It's amazing. You know, they just sit there. They don't do anything but show darkness. I mean, really not doing anything, not really dark light. There's just nothing. But if you turn them on, then they got light. The Word of God is God's light. If you don't use it, it won't give you any light. And somebody says, well, I've hid God's Word in my heart. Well, praise the Lord. But let me tell you, if you don't open the closet door, you're not going to get anything out of it. We have to engage the Word of God. We have to turn on that light that God has given us and use it to His honor and glory. God's light is lamp to some is hidden, but even to His children sometimes is hidden in the sense they don't walk in the light of it. It's like having a flashlight and you're walking over there and you shine the flashlight over there. Now, let me say you're going to stumble, you're going to fall, until you get that light where you need to walk in the light of God. The word reveals sin in Romans 7:13 was that then that which is good made death unto me. Paul's speaking about the law of God. God forbid, but sin that it might appear sin working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. You know, that's the best thing can happen to you is the sin in your life become exceeding sinful. It doesn't change the sin, by the way. Somebody says, what do you mean? You want to sin more? No, it makes you see what it really is. That it's darkness, that it's evil, that it's bad. It's like I was speaking this morning about some of the things that we see going on in our society dealing with fornication. It's come to the point that it doesn't seem like it's darkness at all. It seems like it's actually light, that it's a good thing, not an evil thing. And yet it's that which will destroy, has destroyed many nations and will destroy us. God, Jesus Christ, the manifestation of the light of God, is rejected. There in John, the first chapter, and there in the fourth verse, there in Him was life, and the light was the light of men. Then in verse 9, it says, that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And verse 10 also, he that was in the world and the world was made by him and the world knew him not. We've spoken about the fall of man, how that darkened that light or the image of God. It, it, It closed us to the light. Man rejected the light of God, rejected God Almighty, rejected all His provisions, and went his own way. He wanted to be God. Now, when I think the closer on the deal was when the serpent told Eve, said, "You'll be just like God." I mean, that was the closer. He brought her up to that point, and that was the closer. "I'll be like God. I can do this, and I can do that." It's like a little children today that want to get some kind of uniform so they can play like they're superheroes or something. And this is kind of the way Adam and Eve were. They thought they would be able to do the things like God did, and yet they found they fell well short. The light in man's heart was corrupted in the fall. It corrupted his conscience. It still revealed that there was a lawgiver. There are some constants almost all over the world where there are certain laws that people have. And we say, "Well, what do you mean constant?" There's that which is revealed in man's soul, even in their conscience. And even though they might be some of the most wicked people there are, I mean, you can almost pick out the Ten Commandments in one shape or form. Maybe some of them that deal with the first part, maybe not so much, but the latter part, you can. And so it is that which is in man's nature, is sowed within him, and it'll come forth. And yet, man corrupts even that to what will he choose to call murder and what he will choose to be to call the different sins that are presented there. God's wrath against the workers of darkness and their evil deeds, they're in Romans, in Romans 1:18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." Now, we want to look on down to chapter 2, and there in verse 5, "But after the hardness of the impenitent heart, treasured up unto themselves wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God." And then verse 8 and 9, "And but unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also to the Gentile." There's a consequence to our sins. There is a payday someday. There, as Dr. Lee had a sermon on payday someday, and it is that time, if you will, that men will be judged. We might decide on earth that there's not a hell. We might decide here that there's no true judgment of God. We might decide here that we don't have to worry about that. And some people have suicide pacts, and they die together, and they're going to escape together, and yet they'll find out on the other side that it is true. That there is a heaven, that there is a hell, there is a consequence to man's sin. Not only upon this earth there's a consequence, there is a consequence in the eternity. God's wrath is against all evil, no matter who walks or who is involved in darkness. In Colossians, the third chapter, in Colossians 3, 5, and 6, and it says, "Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil conceptiousness, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience." We just go through the whole New Testament. Some say, "Well, you know, in the Old Testament, it's all judgment. In the New Testament, it's all love." But we just go right through the New Testament, and we can just read over and over and over again of the wickedness and sin of men. That his only remedy is God. Even as James 1:17 says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, which with whom is no variableness, neither shadow or turning." And so we serve a God that is light. He does not change, as we mentioned this morning. And he enlightens our soul that we might see the truth, that we know might call sin, sin. And not forgive sin. You know, one of the worst things you can do is excuse one another for sin. You know, it's like, you know, you excuse me for my sin, and I excuse you for your sin. And sometimes churches seem to have a pact like that. I went to a church one time, and said, "Well, we don't do this preaching, we don't preach on that, we don't." I thought to myself, they got to be joking. I mean, I really did. I thought they were joking, but they weren't. And soon we had a kind of a conflict for a little while until the Lord straightened it all out. The point I'm making is sometimes we make agreements with one another. Now, this doctrine here we'll put on the side because that makes me feel uneasy. And this doctrine over here don't bother me, but it bothers you, so we'll put this over on the side. And pretty soon you get all these things covered up, and then you just preach just the things that we're not uncomfortable with. Let me say to you, that's when wickedness enters in and destroys. The natural man is at war with God because of the light of His Word. Romans 8:7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. And I've heard people say, well, you know, preacher, if anybody's going to heaven, surely so-and-so. I mean, it's people rejecting Christ. I've gone to the hospital bed and spoke to them about Jesus, and they just make fun of me. And they say, well, I don't believe in that. I think I'm safe the way I am. I don't have to worry about that. And they say, oh, if anybody's going to heaven, they are, because they plow the church's parking lot in the wintertime or something. That won't get you to heaven. Now, let me say, the light of God is the truth, and we need to stand by what God says. Men reject God. He is against God. And let me say, the natural man, he is at war with God. He hates God and hates His commandments. He hates true righteousness. If he can get the glory out of it, then he loves it. But if he has to share that glory, he hates it. And he hates that God, the law of God, and he cannot be subject to it because he hates it. You can't be subject to something that you hate. It's just like somebody getting me to eat certain foods or something foods I just don't really like. It's not because it's going to cause me a problem. I just don't like broccoli. I told somebody one time, they said, well, here's... I said, I don't eat trees. I said, I don't... That's one thing I don't eat is trees. And so they was coming up all different methods to get me to eat that broccoli. I just don't like broccoli. And that's the way man is. He don't like righteousness. He can't eat it, don't like it. And if he tries to eat it, it makes him sick because he just hates it. And let me say to you, no matter how good a person appears to you, if they're without Jesus Christ, they hate God. The Scripture says they do. They hate God, they hate His Word, they hate the things of God. No matter how good, again, that they appear. Sometimes to me, they're the worst witnesses in the community is someone that seems to be better than everybody else and hates Jesus. And people say, well, they seem like they're doing all right. And again, you hear things from church. People say, well, if anybody's going to heaven, surely they will. I think to myself, what a sorry testimony that is. The natural man then loves darkness. And 2 Peter 3:5, for this they willingly are ignorant of the word of God. The heavens were of old and earth standing out of the water and in the water. And they deny anything that God said. If God says there's blood, they say there were not. There was a theologian, he come up with a localized flood. And somebody told me, so what do you think about that? I said, well, that would have been a miracle indeed. They had the flood over around Mount Ararat. It covered up Mount Ararat up to the top, but didn't affect the rest of the earth. I said, boy, what God had to do, he had to put him a cookie cover or something around that thing and fill that up with water where it didn't seep out and go over the rest of the earth. I mean, that's how foolish men are. Just look at evolution. How foolish is that? And they got to add billions of years every year to make it true. And, of course, it'll never be true because it's against God. False teachers are always spreading darkness. And they're more diligent a lot of times than we are. And now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits. The worst enemy that we have is those that claim that they were Christians at one time or were preachers at one time, and they've gone off the rail. Well, actually, they never was on the rail to go off. They have gone into darkness, and then they use what they've learned, and nominal Christians that don't understand the Word of God, they deceive them and draw them in like flies to honey and destroy the lives of many and even destroy churches. And they deceive and are deceived because they have no light in them. And the other problem is sometimes we don't recognize true light. And the true light reveals man's only hope, and that's Jesus Christ. We look in Acts 4:12, and I know this is familiar, hopefully, to all of us. Acts 4:12, it just makes it, I think, as clear as you can make it about salvation and what name. 4:12, neither is there salvation in the other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You can't get saved any other way. It's in Jesus and Jesus alone. It is not that you can eliminate Jesus. Well, we've worshiped the Father. There's a lot of religions that's on that. Are there Jesus' name only? They don't have a Father, or they don't have the Spirit. They have Jesus, or they have the Father, and not the Jesus and the Spirit, and just any kind of combination you can think of, they got it. But let me say to you, there is a Father. I think it's John 4:25. I always tell myself, don't ever do that, preacher. It's not going to be there. Wait a minute, I know what this is. That's what I always tell me as a preacher, don't ever do that. Nonetheless, it tells us in John that we are to believe on him that sent him, that is, believe on the Father who sent the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we think about that, where Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and life, no man comes to the Father but by me, he is the only way, the only truth, and life. That's it. You can't get life in any other method or means. Even though we could say, well, the Father has sent the word to me, and we could say, as Jesus says, you must believe on him that sent me. I think in Romans, the 4th chapter, it tells us that also. And when we think about that, that we are to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we are to believe that there is the Father and Spirit, and we are Trinitarians, and we're saved by God. And yet, the only way you can approach God is through Jesus Christ. There's no other means, there's no other name, there's no other method that we can approach the living God except through the Lord Jesus Christ. We think about God is light, and there in 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, we read a part of that. 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, and there in the 4th verse, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. We should not be surprised when we talk to people about the Lord that they can't see it. They can't understand it. And this is the reason, if you will, that some devise means whereby we can help them out. We say, well, you want to go to heaven, don't you? Well, yeah, I want to go to heaven. You don't want to go to hell, do you? No. Well, just repeat after me and you'll be going to heaven. That sounds simple enough, but let me tell you, that's not the way. They're blind. You've got to overcome their blindness. They've got to have light that they might see the word of truth. They're in 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, in the 5th verse. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ, Jesus, the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now everything comes this way. Everything that comes this way, the sinner's blind to. It is like taking somebody and says, I'm going to take you out in the sunshine. You're going to see what this looks like. And here they are. They got these dark glasses on. They're welder glasses. And then they got a welder hood on top of that. And you take them out there and they say, I don't really see nothing. Why? Because they're blind. And as long as you are approaching them that way, they'll never believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. But God does it a different way. God shines his light into the heart. That's the new birth. That's what it's talking about. God doesn't come in the front door. He comes in the back door, if you will. He shines the light into the heart. It is regenerated. And as soon as it's regenerated, those blinders are popped off, if you will, and you can see clearly the light of Jesus Christ. But before God does that, a sinner cannot see Jesus. He is absolutely blinded by the devil. He's blinded by society. He's blinded by himself. And until God opens his eyes and cures his blindness that he may have eyes to see and hearts to perceive the word of truth, he'll never believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. He cannot believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we're wasting our time when we try to make them Christians. You can't make a Christian. All you can do is go witness to them that maybe God will make them a Christian. Because he's the one that has to do the work. We're always knocking on that front door. We're always coming through the ears and the eyes. And they don't have eyes to see nor ears to hear and perceive the word of truth. And as long as we're doing that, we cannot win. But when God opens that door, it just floods in. And you'll be their best friend for life. You will be. Because you were there when God opened their understanding and you was preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God to make it effectual in their heart, and they believed the truth and believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the only way a person can be saved. You can never make a Christian. You can get them to sign all the papers you want to. You can repeat that. They can repeat after you till doomsday. You can have them saying prayers 24 hours a day. That won't save them. Until God shines that light in, there's no results. You might think I'm a little off on that. It makes me angry. Because I know people can believe that they're saved. Really believe it. My wife and I, when God saved us, we thought we got a second blessing. Why? Because we knew he was already saved. Because we'd done everything he's supposed to be. We already had the stamp of approval of the church. We saved. How many people are actually walking in darkness thinking they're saved? And they're not. Man is already under the sentence of death. It's not something that is going to happen down the line. In John 3:18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This foolishness that people are neutral until the gospel comes, and if they accept it, they'll go to heaven. If they don't, they'll go into the lake of fire. It's foolishness. All are on the broad road of destruction. They have no light on that road. And they're blindly going down that road. They cannot see what's on the other side of there. They cannot see the lake of fire that's just waiting for them on that broad highway. And many of them are going down there. They think they're just saved. And what they need is the light of Christ. That they might see they're on that old wide road of destruction and go into the narrow path of righteousness. God in Christ reveals the hatred for sin and the compassion for the sinner. Isaiah 53:10, yet it pleased God to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. There's Jesus on the cross suffering. I mean before the cross. When they plucked his beard out, when they whipped him, beat him, smacked him, put on the crown of thorns, when they did all that, he's suffering. And he's going to the cross at Calvary. And there's nothing joyous about this. It's all pain and suffering. It's humiliation. It is nothing as far as men could look at and say, well, that's a good thing to do. I think I'll do it tomorrow. There's nothing about it. And yet he's seen his seed. He said, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. What gives him the joy on the cross is his seed. Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Talking about light. Jesus went through the darkest hour when God covered up the heavens. But he's seen his seed. For the joy that was set before him. What was that? That was his people, his seed. And for that joy, you know, he asked the Father just a short time before that, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Hebrews, well, the second chapter says he's heard. I believe Jesus went to the cross willingly, on purpose. Yes, to fulfill the Father, but also because of his seed. God's justice demands that the rebels be cast into the lake of fire, but mercy is sent by Jesus Christ. John 5:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not pass, shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. He's dead. Death was all about us. The smell of death was on us. Till someone brought us the gospel. Holy Spirit made it effectual. And that stink went away. Now we have a savor of life. Not of death, but of life. God has changed us. God's wrath toward the believer is appeased in Christ Jesus. He has sent light into our soul. God has no favor for the rebels, no blessing for them, unless they turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, yes, God does provide, and he does send the sun on the just and the unjust. And yes, he causes to rain, and he causes food, and he causes, and he feeds, as he feeds all of his creation, he feeds the wicked as well as the righteous. But those that will be with him forevermore, he has done more. He took those rebels. And that was wicked, as wicked could be, just like the rest of them. If you put them in, it would be three peas in a pod, it would be the same. And yet God chose them out of that pod. Jesus died for them. God had a compassion upon us, delivered us. Our nature would say no, but God said yes. Would you have come to Jesus if God hadn't bid you to come? You'd never made it. Would you have seen the light of Jesus Christ without God showing you that light? Some people, depending on the light, depending on maybe masonry, vain philosophy, science, falsely so-called, holidays, glittering world lights and darkness and the things of darkness of this world, these lights are just foolishness. The true light is Jesus Christ. There are so many religions in America today, I don't even know how many there are. I mean, there used to be a lot of religion, but there's all kind of Christian-like, I mean, one way or the other. Now there's all kinds of things I don't even know. But it doesn't make any difference. They're all the same darkness. And Jesus went on the cross. He seen his seed. And for the joy that was set before him, despised the shame. He did that for us, if you're saved by God's amazing grace. I'm thankful that I know when I was saved. The reason I know is light came into my heart and has been enlightening me ever since. Yes, there's been rough times, bad times, good times, and so on, but that light has never failed. It always shows me the way out of darkness.